praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and love. Thank you for your presence and power in our lives, in our situations. Thank you for impossible things you have made possible unto us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for doing justice on the things you do not want to see in our lives. Thank you for uprooting the plantations of the enemy. Thank you for destroying all the works of the enemy that were against us. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for everyone who have benefited from this Healing Streams program. We thank you for the souls you have rescued, you have saved. We thank you for deliverances you have done in people's lives. Thank you for the truth that you have sent into people's lives to set them free. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those who have been healed supernaturally just by applying faith, by releasing their faith. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for divine encounters that people got after the last Healing Streams program we had. Thank you because their lives shall not remain the same again. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having this meeting again this morning, O Lord, visit us with power. Visit us with power. Touch everyone in wherever location they are. Let your mighty hand come upon your people. And let your will be done in their lives. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do even more than we ask for. Thank you, Lord. Because you will do wonders in every life beyond our expectations. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue with a new topic, which is there is no weakness in God. There is no weakness in God. I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 28 to 29. Isaiah 40, 28 to 29. There is no weakness in God. Isaiah 40, 28 to 29. I read, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 14, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. So there is no weakness in God. God has never been weak. God has never been tired. Why? Because he have eternal life in him. God is an embodiment of eternal life. That was why he can never be tired. I mean, that is why he can never be tired. That is why he can never be weak. Because there is no death in him. He is full of eternal life, everlasting life. Yeah, that was what verse 28 of Isaiah chapter 14, that was what it means. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," yeah, God is everlasting, that is, he lives forever because he is full of eternal life. He is eternal life himself. So that is why he cannot be weak. He cannot be tired. He cannot. He has never been weak. He has never been tired. And not only that, he gives power to the faint. That is, he gives strength to those that are weak. Since he cannot be weak, so we can trust in his strength. We can trust in his power. And he is always willing to share that power with us, with you, with me, if we can seek him and wait on him. If we can trust him, if we can pray, if we can fast, God is always willing to share from his strength, since his own strength has no end. His own strength has no end. It's eternal. His strength is always multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. So there is no end to his own strength. So God is willing to share from that strength with anyone that we ask. Is willing to share from his strength and might with anyone that would trust him. Anyone that would trust him for strength, God is willing to make them strong. He is willing to make them strong because he himself cannot be weak. He has never been weak. There is no weakness. There is no weakness in him. There is no weakness in him. Yeah, so this morning we are looking at a topic that says there is no weakness in God. There is no weakness in God. Amen. We're going to look at 4 points before we pray. 4 points Number one, do not think your weakness means God's weakness. Do not think your own weakness means God's weakness. Do not think that when you are weak, or because you are weak, your God is also weak at the same time. No. Your weakness is not equal to God's weakness, because God can never be weak. You know, many times we feel like God is limited by the same limitations that confronts us. Yeah, especially those of us that are able to feel God's presence. I mean, those of us that are Christians. And if you are really a child of God, many times you should be able to feel God's presence. You should feel His presence when you are worshiping Him, when you are praising Him, when you are studying His word. You should feel His presence. Yeah. So I noticed that Christians who usually feel God's presence have this problem of faith, especially when they can't feel that presence. Yeah. Especially in those moments where they can't feel that presence of God that they used to feel. So they kind of think at that moment when they cannot feel God's presence, they kind of think God is not there at that time. And also they kind of think that God is weak because they feel weakness, because they don't feel strong, like the kind of strength they felt when they were in the church service, when they were in church meeting, in church programs, the kind of anointing, the kind of strength they felt. So whenever they are now maybe at home, and they can't feel that same presence they felt when they were in the church, or when they were praying with other believers, then they begin to lose faith, and they begin to think that means God is weak, or that means they are weak, because they couldn't feel the presence they felt when they were at church. Yeah, because they couldn't feel the same presence they felt at church or in prayer meetings. Because they couldn't feel the same presence when they were alone. They felt, that means at that time they are not feeling that presence, they are weak. Or God is weak. Or God is not present anymore. Yeah, that is a lie. That is wrong, because there is no weakness in God. So the fact that you don't feel strong in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, in your mind, doesn't mean that your God is not strong. Doesn't mean that your God is weak. So the fact that you feel or you felt weakness doesn't mean that your God is weak. Yeah, because God is higher. God is higher than you. God is in the realm far higher than the realm that you are. Yeah, though He chose to stay inside of us. But that doesn't mean that He's limited by the forces that limit us. God is unlimited. Even though he chose to stay to dwell inside of you, doesn't mean that the same factors that is affecting you is affecting him. Doesn't mean that the same challenges and issues that is affecting you is affecting God. No. Even though he stays inside of you, he is not weak. You might not feel strong, but your God is not weak. Even if you are weak. So you need to let that register in your mind. Let that register in your mind. Now, I want us to read the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even God who quickeneth the dead and collect those things which be not as though they were. That is the God we serve. He quickens the dead. He is able to bring the dead back to life. And not only that, he is able to bring something out of nothing. He is able to bring things out of nothing. In fact, God is able to give you assurance of things that you are not saying at the moment. Yeah, and God most times would tell me he has done a lot of things. And as at the time he's telling me he has done them, I am not seeing anything. I mean, as at the time God tells me he has done some things, I wasn't seeing anything. Yeah, I wasn't seeing anything. So which means that God speaks based on his ability. Anything God says, he says them because of his ability. Yeah. If God says you are healed, you are healed. Yeah. That's the truth. If he says you are healed, then you are healed. Even if you still look at your body and you still feel sick and you still feel weak, you should just believe and agree that you are healed. Because indeed you are healed. Because God calleth those things which be not as though they were. Though presently you are not seeing any changes, I mean, you look at your life, you're not seeing any physical change. But that change is there. Maybe you look at yourself and then you're not seeing any healing, any deliverance. But that healing is there, that miracle is there. Because God collects those things which be not as though they were. Yeah, so when God looks at you, he already sees you as a healed, like as healed. You're already healed because Jesus had paid the price for for your healing. So God already see you healed. He already see you delivered. He already see you blessed. God already see you prospered. Yeah. God already see you elevated. God already see you rich and wealthy. So God already see these things that they have happened to you, because indeed they have already happened. Yeah, but we are the one to release our faith. And through prayers, bring these things into physical reality. So we are the one to bring the things God have already done. We are the ones to bring them into the physical reality. Yeah. Let's look at the later part of that scripture in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, I've read verse 17. Now I'm going to read verse 19 to 20. Here the Bible is talking of Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, God told him and his wife that they would have a son. Yeah. And here, the man God told would have a son. He is almost 100 years of age. So which, as at this time, maybe his body can, I mean, according to medical science, as at this time, maybe he can't even produce sperms that is enough to father a child. Yeah. And even Sarah, the wife, I'm sure she would have passed menopause. I'm sure the wife would not even be able to produce an egg that is ready to that is able to form a child. But they did not stagger. They did not stagger in faith. They did not shake in faith. In verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Their faith were not shaken. The faith of Abraham and Sarah were not shaken. Yeah, they believed God. Yeah. It says, but was strong in faith. They did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but they were strong in faith, giving glory to God. They were strong in faith. So they were not looking at the weakness in their body. So that was why the point number one says, do not think your weakness mean God's weakness. Abraham and the wife, they were not considering the fact that their body is weak to fulfill God's promise. They did not stagger in unbelief or through unbelief. Their faith was not shaken. They believed God. So the question is, do you believe God? Or do you still believe God? Do you still believe God's promise? The promise of God for your life, do you still believe it will come to pass? Do you believe the promise of God that says that with his stripes you are healed? Do you still believe that promise? That Jesus already paid the price for your healing on the cross of Calvary? And that the fact that you are now born again means you are also healed? But people don't know that if the moment they are born again is the moment they are healed. Many people don't know that. The moment you are born again is the moment you are healed. The moment you are born again is the moment you are delivered. Yeah. So everything is packaged inside being born again. Your healing, your deliverance, everything, your restoration, your prosperity, they are all packaged inside you being born again. Your holiness, your righteousness, everything, your purity, your sanctification, they are all packaged inside you being born again. So everything has already happened. The moment you gave your life to Christ, everything has happened inside of you. But you must work it out through a lot of faith and prayers. And you begin to see it physically. Yeah, but that working it out is what many people don't want to do, because it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of diligence, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of self-denial, yeah, a lot of discipline to actually work it out. And many people don't want to work it out. Yeah. So do you still believe that the promise of God for your life will be fulfilled, will manifest inside your body? Do you believe that when God says you are healed, that you are actually healed? Do you still believe that? I pray that you will believe in Jesus' name. Now let's move to point number two. Point number two. God dwells inside of you and He is not weak. God dwells inside of you and He is not weak. God dwells inside of us, Christians. And as He is on the inside of us, He is not weak. Let us look at John chapter 14, verse 23. John 14, verse 23. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I'm going to read it again. This is Jesus speaking, and I believe the words of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Yeah. Jesus said, anyone that love him, His Father, that is God Almighty, will love the person. And not only that, He said He and the Father will come to that person and they will dwell in that person. We know where God stays in our lives. I believe you know that. The Bible says that you are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. So God dwells inside of us. So inside of you, Jesus is there. Yeah. Inside of you, God is there. And of course, the Holy Spirit is also there. Yeah, because even in this same chapter, Jesus promised that He's going to give us the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. So God is in you as a believer. Jesus is in you. I mean, practically in you. Because whenever I teach, I try to make people really see what the scripture meant. Yeah, it's not saying that God is in you as you know, as a very distant length. I mean, God is in you at a distant, at a very distant length. He's not saying that. He's not saying God is in you just in a spirit form, in a spiritual form. He's not saying that. He said God is in you. Yeah. Physically. Spiritually, physically. He's in you. Jesus is in you. Physically and spiritually. Not just in maybe, and you say, since God is a spirit, yeah, he's just in me in a spirit form. And we know that a ghost cannot touch. I'm trying to describe how some people perceive God. That's what I'm trying to describe now. Some people, they feel like, you know, a ghost cannot touch any physical thing. They feel like if a ghost is moving, a ghost is only a spirit being. So a ghost cannot touch physical thing. God is not like human ghost. Yeah, God is not like a human ghost, like the ghost of someone that has died, that can no longer touch the physical realm. God is not like that. I don't know if you are learning something. Yeah, God is not like God is not like human ghost. God is a spirit that can touch physical things. It can change physical things. In fact, he creates physical things. I believe you know that. He creates physical things. So all the physical things you are seeing now, they came out of the spirit realm. You can read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. All the physical things you are seeing now, they were created by a spirit. Yeah, a spirit created the physical things you are seeing now, including your own body. They were created by a spirit. They were created from the realm of God, from the realm of the spirit. So God is not a spirit that cannot touch physical things. Yeah. God is not that kind of spirit. So if the Bible says that God is in you spiritually and physically, that is, he can touch your physical being. He can touch your physical being, just like your friend will touch you and you can feel the touch. So that is the kind of spirit that God is. Yeah, so he is in you for real. Even as I'm talking right now, if you're a child of God, God is in you for real. Praise the Lord. I pray that you will believe these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, because he can change things on the inside of you. If he is in you as one who can touch physical things, that means whatever is wrong inside of you, God can change it. He can correct them. It can uproot things. It can fix things right inside of you. Yeah. If you believe. The third point. God is waiting for your faith. Yeah, that is the third point. God is waiting for your faith. So God is inside of you, waiting for your faith, waiting for you to believe in his abilities. God is inside of you, inside your body, inside every cell in your body, waiting for you to believe in his ability. God is inside your soul, inside your spirit, waiting for you to believe in his ability, then He will begin to do his wonders when he sees your faith. He will begin to do his wonders. Let us look at the story of a man in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 39 to 42. Luke chapter 18. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." This is the blind man, Bartimaeus. They told him to keep quiet, but he refused to be quiet. He kept on shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then in verse 40, "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight." Verse 42. "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And of course, in verse 43, the Bible says that immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. Yeah, and all the people saw it and they gave praise to God. Now, you can see in this place that Jesus saw that the man was blind. And Jesus still asked him, "What will you want me to do for you?" I love the way Jesus taught faith in the Bible. And I wish that every man of God and woman of God will follow this pattern of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus did his ministry with the standard of heaven, which is faith. He does his ministry following the standard of the kingdom of God, the standard of the kingdom of heaven, which is faith. Yeah. So even though he has all the power to do anything, he would ask people, "Do you believe I can do this for you?" And when they say yes, they believe. And then he will say, "Let it be according to your faith." And then they will get the miracle. I don't know if you have noticed these things in the Bible. And yeah. So Jesus wasn't like all the men of God. I mean, he wasn't doing what many men of God are doing today. Yeah, that they think is about how anointed you are. Yeah, so you just go out there and start showing that you have anointing. Jesus was not doing that. Jesus was concerned about the faith in the hearts of people. That was the concern of Jesus. Faith in the hearts of people. So all the miracles he did them so that the faith in the hearts of people will rise. Yeah, and even those that come for miracles, he will ask them, do they believe? Yeah. So like this man already demonstrated faith, this man, blind Bartimaeus, he already demonstrated faith by shouting, calling out Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And even at that moment when Jesus called him to come, Jesus was still asking him what he wants him to do for him. So Jesus did not assume that he wants his blind eyes to be opened. Jesus did not assume that it's because this man is blind. That is why he's calling me. Let me just lay hands on him and remove the blindness. Jesus did not assume that the man only wanted to see. He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And the man said, I want to see. Yeah. So God deals with us according to faith. Yeah. So don't just feel like God knows what I want if he is God. Let him do it. Yeah. If he is powerful, as they say, as the Bible say, let him do it. So you tell him what you want him to do for you. Let your faith be specific. Yeah, tell God what you want him to do for you. Even as you are listening to this message right now, begin to tell God in your heart, this is what I want you to do for me. This is what I want you to remove from my life, from my body. And God will do exactly that. Yeah, and make sure you don't limit him. Because if you just limit him and say, I just want you to do this small thing, then he will just do the small thing. But if you say, oh God, I want you to do this great thing, this big thing in my life, then he will just do that big thing. Yeah, because he will do exactly as you have asked in faith. Yeah. So all that was so important to this blind man was him receiving his sight. All that he wanted from the Lord was to receive his sight. And Jesus granted that desire, that request. So now, what is it that you want God to do for you? What is it that you want God to do for you? What is it? You're going to tell him, and he's going to do it in Jesus' name. Now, the last point before we pray says, get rid of the objects of weakness. You know, the topic is, there is no weakness in God. Now, if the strength of God is really going to manifest in your life and remain in your life, then get rid of everything that causes weakness in your life. Get rid of everything that causes weakness in your life. If you want the strength of God to walk in your life, if you want the strength of God to manifest in your life, if you want the strength of God to stay in your life, get rid of things that is causing weaknesses in your life. You know, I've seen many Christians that they are praying for revival inside of them. They are praying for transformation. They are praying for deliverance. They are praying for healings. And yet, they are still holding things that is connecting them to darkness. They are still doing things that is inviting demons into their lives. Things that is bringing the afflictions of Satan into their lives. They are still committing sins. Yeah. Things that is draining them spiritually. Those are the things they are still doing. And they are saying, I want to be strong spiritually. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. And then they are still watching pornography. They are still doing masturbation. They are still committing fornication. They are still committing adultery. And all kinds of uncleanness. Yeah. They still tell lies. They still steal. They still do all forms of immorality and unrighteousness. And yet, they are saying that they want to be strong. They want to be on fire for God. How is that possible? Yeah. How is it possible that you will be in the realm of darkness and want to be strong? When you are in sin, you are in darkness. Sin leads to darkness. When you are in sin, you are in weakness. Sin leads to weakness. Both spiritual weakness and physical weakness. Yeah, sin brings all these things. Yeah, when you are carnally minded, you will be weak. And God will not be able to walk in your life because you are weak. Because of what you have embraced. Yeah. Because of what you have embraced. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, Hebrews 12 verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Yeah, let us lay aside every weight. Yeah, all those weights you have placed on yourself that is sinking you down into darkness. Yeah, it's funny how Christians we know the things that is draining them spiritually, the things that is killing their relationship with God. They know that it is this relationship that I am in, this sinful relationship, ungodly relationship, this sex partner that is in my life. Yeah, because it is sex partner. When you're not married to the person, all you do with the person is just to meet with the person at a place, and then you just sleep with each other, you have sex. Yeah, and then you still go to church, and then you say you're a Christian, you pray, and you don't destroy that relationship with your sex partner. and then you're expecting that you'll be healed, you'll be delivered, you'll be strong spiritually. It's not possible. Yeah, it's not possible. You are smoking, drinking, and you are still expecting that the power of God will stay in you. It's not possible. So you can't hold darkness and light together at the same time. It's not possible. You have to leave one for one. Praise the Lord. So you have to lay aside all these things that is making demons and Satan bring you down. All those sinful lifestyle, you have to lay them aside. You have to repent genuinely. That is when the power of God will work in you. Yeah, and that is when nothing will be able to stop the power of God from producing results in you. That is when you can be weak, and then you will say, "Oh Lord, strengthen me," and strength will rise from within you. Praise the Lord. So lay aside every sin that devil is using to draw you down, to slow you down. Lay aside those sins. Amen. We are going to pray now. And I believe that the Lord will touch you. I believe that the Lord will do wonders in your life. I believe that the hand of the Lord will transform your life. So you're going to pray two prayer points. Then I will be praying for you, and I will also be praying on your water. The first prayer point you're going to pray, you're going to say, "Father, today I lay aside every object of weakness. I lay aside everything I do that is making Satan rule over me. Every sinful thing I do that is making Satan control my life, that is making Satan touch my life, that is making Satan oppress my life. Say, oh Lord, today I lay them aside. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, "Today I lay aside everything. I lay aside everything that Satan, everything I do that is making Satan stronger than me, that is making Satan oppress me, that is making Satan rule over me," begin to say, "I lay them aside. I forsake them today in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, help me." Talk to God. Say, "Everything I do with my body, everything I do to my body that is making darkness fill my life, that is making darkness rule over my life, that is making darkness oppress my life," begin to say, I stop them today. Oh Lord, help me to stop them forever. Begin to say, "I lay them aside today. Everything I do with my life that is bringing darkness into my life, bringing weakness into my life, bringing captivity into my life, slavery into my life, oppression into my life, afflictions into my life. Say, oh Lord, I repent today. help me to forsake them all forever. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And then the last prayer point you're going to pray, you're going to say, Father, I acknowledge that you live inside of me. I acknowledge that I am your child and you live inside of me. Manifest your strength and power to heal me, to deliver me. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Father, I acknowledge that you dwell in me because I am your child. You dwell in me physically and spiritually. You dwell in me for real. You dwell in me as you are in heaven, as you are on your throne. So you are inside of me in the fullness of your power, in the fullness of your strength, in the fullness of your might. Say, Lord, I acknowledge that as you are on your throne, so you are inside of me. Manifest yourself now. Talk to God like that. Say, Lord, I agree that you are on the inside of me in the fullness of your power, with the fullness of your power. Manifest yourself now from the inside of me. Manifest your power now. Heal me and deliver me. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, manifest the greatness of you from the inside of me and heal me and deliver me now. Transform my life. Change my life. From the inside of me, because you are on the inside of me. Change my life, O Lord, from the inside of me. Talk to him like that. Say, O Lord, change my life from the inside of me, because you are on the inside of me. Change my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to be praying for you. I want you to hold the water in your hands as I pray. Hold the water in your hands as I pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your power here. Thank you for your fire here. Thank you for your heavens that are opened over this meeting. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you manifest your power now. Manifest your power here and in the lives of everyone that is watching and listening to me right now. Oh Lord, manifest your power. Manifest your power right now, right now. In their bodies, oh Lord, manifest your power. In their souls, manifest your power. In their spirits, manifest your power. Right now, right now, manifest your power. Let the oppression of demons in the lives of your people be broken right now. In the name of Jesus. Let every slavery of darkness, every slavery to darkness in the lives of your people be broken now. In the name of Jesus, I command poverty in your life to end right now. In the name of Jesus, every form of sufferings and afflictions, I command them to disappear now in your life. In the name of Jesus, every witchcraft initiation, every witchcraft spell, witchcraft harrows, witchcraft attacks on your life, in your life, I command them to come out right now. In the name of Jesus, I decree that the hand of God rest upon you. And as the hand of God rest upon you, let there be power explosion in the name of Jesus. And let miracles begin to happen in every area of your life, in the name of Jesus. I pray that the water in your hands receive fire. The water in your hands receive fire and power to do miracles that God has determined to do in your life in this season. In the name of Jesus, everywhere this water touches in your body, they shall be healed instantly in the name of Jesus. And those that you give this water to drink, they shall also be healed immediately in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. I pray for those of you who have always been weak, and it is weakness upon weakness. Hardly do you remain in strength. You always feel weak and feel weak all the time. I decree that your story will change. In fact, your story changes right now. In the name of Jesus, no more weaknesses. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Now you shall rule over demons. You shall rule over temptations. In the name of Jesus, you shall no longer fall into sin. You shall rule over sin from this moment onward in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.